Feed them, they'll come. That's what they say.
Okay.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Gracious and merciful God, we come to you this morning and we thank you for our message today. We thank you for the words we will hear in Scripture. We thank you for the time together. More importantly, Lord, we thank you for the fellowship that we will share in just a few minutes through our lemonade on the lawn. We thank you for the hands that have prepared this bounty before us. Lord, we are forever grateful for your presence in our lives. Help us to worship you and help us to see that you receive all the glory from today's service, today's message, today's scripture, as well as today's fellowship. We ask all these things now in our living Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our message comes from 1 Thessalonians 5 this morning. Once I give you this scripture reading, you're going to think, well, how in the world did he ever prepare a Father's Day message out of this? But if you have been studying with us in our Bible study group, we are learning about the ministry and life of Paul, one of God's most known disciples. And this is a letter that he had written. And this is the very end of chapter 5, and it's also the end of 1 Thessalonians. It's his final advice to all of us and to those who surrounded him in that moment in time in his life. He says these words, "Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at the prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So again, good morning and welcome to yet again another beautiful day that the Lord has made. And it's really no greater place to enjoy these days like this other than here in this beautiful setting. I hope each of you are certainly well, and happy Father's Day to all the dads and stepdads that are gathered here in this beautiful place. I must confess to you this morning that this message has stirred me for greater than a week, especially last night. I am generally and usually a sound sleeper. Once I crash, I'm out, but not last night. I was quite restless all night long and finally placed my final thoughts on this tablet this morning about 5 a.m. In fact, when I chose this message and title, I really didn't know why, but I wrote it down and I couldn't bring myself to change it. Over a week, I have struggled with it. And frequently throughout this week, I have revisited it, trying to see if before I sent it in to make it in stone, perhaps, today's message and in your bulletin, if I could possibly do something different for Father's Day. So I want to take a few minutes and tell you why I chose this scripture reading today, especially on Father's Day. Or maybe it's better to say why God had me write it down and wouldn't let me change it. Because I tried several times. It comes from the Apostle Paul. And after studying his life and ministry with my friends, For the past 26 weeks, I have come to admire him for his service to God. In this passage, Paul gives us a warning of a day when God, our Father, will hold all of his people, to include me and you, his followers, accountable for their attitudes and their actions. Since this time will come unexpectedly for all of us, he cautions us to stay alert and be ready at all times, according to his final advice. This is especially important for those of us who tend to be procrastinators. I too can procrastinate on certain things. Generally, I'm not, but it calls our attention to not procrastinate. Our Father wants us to act immediately whenever we see sin in our lives, and most importantly, sin in ourselves. He doesn't want us to delay confessing our sins or forgiving each other, for that matter. When God shows us where we need to change, which is a terrible word for most of us, as we've talked weeks past, he also offers us the power to change. A lot of times when we think about change, we don't think that we have the power to change, but we do. God gives us that latitude and that discretion. It's whether we choose to do it or not. There's really no acceptable reason to put off doing what God calls us to do. Simply put, friends, in Scripture this morning, in this final advice from Paul, the time to obey the Father is now. And it's no better time to start than here on this place, on this day, in Father's Day. So with that, I'll begin with myself. Over the past 3 or 4 months, my patience and faith have been pushed to the max. I have allowed certain people whom I associate with, most in my professional setting, to influence my attitude, my demeanor, and my words. It has been tough on me, but also it has been tough on those who love me and look after me. On this day, before you, my friends and disciples in Christ Jesus, I confess that I haven't been the best husband, nor have I been the best father. Even when I knew my words were hurtful, they were said anyway. I told a friend the other day who was seeking advice, and I shared this advice with him: when things are said, they can't be unheard. That's karma. When I looked in the mirror, I should have heeded my own advice. This is why I'm running on basically 2 hours of sleep this morning, deleting words and changing sentences in our message at somewhere around 0500 this morning. This is what God has been stirring in my gut all night. Basically, God has said, "Derek, you're better than that. You're better than the things that you have allowed to stress you out, and you're better than the words that you have spoken. And you need to be kinder and gentler and more loving to the people who care about you. Your friends, your family, and your colleagues." And then he says, "Why? Because you are a man of God and you are a man of faith and you follow me. You represent me in all that you do." And what did Paul tell you? Why did you write down this sermon title and use this particular scripture? What did he tell you? "So I must confess, I've been wrong. And to all whom I am speaking to this morning, if I have said something to you that has stressed you out or been wrongful or hurtful, my deepest apologies. If I have impacted you negatively in any way through my words, I deeply apologize and ask for your forgiveness as my dad would say, I'm here with hat in hand. Friends, if you read on into Paul's words beyond what we read this morning in the very last verses of 1 Thessalonians, you'll hear these words and hear his guidance. He says this, our Lord and Savior will make us holy in every way, and may our spirits and our souls and our bodies be kept blameless until he comes again. Well, friends, living in this sinful place, that's a tough act to follow. And that is a challenge for us to remain blameless. And we must. And we must do our best to try to stay that way. Paul says that the Father makes a promise that will come. It will happen. He's speaking directly about salvation. It is a promise from our Father, God Almighty. Then he goes on to say that we should pray for ourselves. We should pray for each other. And we should greet each other with a sacred kiss. And read this letter, 1 Thessalonians. We should read the entire letter to each one that surround us. All of our brothers and sisters. And if we do this, Paul goes on to say, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be with each one of us. Thus, we will receive the promise. What a powerful Father we serve who shares this through his disciples in this way. What a message Paul gives us this morning as we receive God's word through him. And what a powerful presence in our lives he brings through his fatherhood. Friends, this is worth celebrating today. In fact, this is the Father's Day we celebrate. We actually come here every Sunday and celebrate God. But on this given Father's Day, this is the beauty and the strength that we celebrate. As I look around each of you today and see the godly fathers in this place, I see God's grace. I see His mercy. I see His conviction. And I see His strength. Today we celebrate Father's Day, a day where we acknowledge our dads and the men in our lives that have been our constant. When I look at Scripture, I see many, many who serve as fathers. Obviously, God Himself. But how about Joseph and Job and Noah? And the list goes on and on. For the exception of God Himself, these earthly fathers aforementioned are no greater than each other. But they each are very special in their own way. I told you earlier I had come to admire Paul in my 26 weeks with him in our Bible study lesson. Well, that is a true and very true statement, but in much the same way, I admire godly fathers today, just like I do Paul. You know, if you've ever been to New York City, if you ever walked down the streets of Manhattan, you're forced to look up just by given nature. And what you will see is massive amounts of human industry and construction, buildings of all different heights and sizes. They're magnificent in their own right. They're beautiful in their own way, depending on whether they're all made of windows on the facade or they're concrete, really no matter how they're constructed, you can't help but to admire them. But what you don't see is what holds them up, what their root system is. What you can't see is what makes that structure beautiful. The strength, the admiration, the tenacity, the things that I spoke to about to the children about dads. We are like steel I-beams in a building. Most of our work is humble. Most of our work is strong. We share strength at every turn because we must. Just like you can't help but to admire those buildings, I can't help but to admire you this morning. You see, admiration is special. It is unlike any other human feeling. It is built on respect, and it is governed by the quality of the one who has that admiration. I ask you this morning, who are the people you most admire in your life? I'm not sure about what your answers would be, but I am most certain they contain a dad or two or three or four. Admiration generally comes because of success, wealth, prestige, athletic ability, and fame. But real admiration, the admiration that godly fathers share with God above, comes from those who have been impactful in one's life by strength, humility, love, direction, discipline, support, and inspiration. I am absent, my dad. Many of you are the same. Those who have their earthly fathers with them, don't let the sun set without touching them or calling them, showing your respect that you have for them. This sense of admiration that I speak of this morning comes to me because I am consumed by the men who inspired me. My father, certainly one of them. My uncles and my friends' fathers. And many men who sat in this audience who are dads, who taught me in school, who led me in worship, who became a friend. Always. You know, I look back on my dad, and despite any hardships, challenges, and disappointments I may have caused him, he inspired me to do my best and give my best. And with my dad, I failed. But I also have succeeded. And with God, I have failed. But I also have succeeded. Admiration is defined in the dictionary in one word: respect. Father's Day is all about respect. Father's Day is a day in which we celebrate strength through humility. It's where we celebrate a foundational relationship like no other. It is a day we celebrate God living for us each and every day in our lives. It's a day where we celebrate as godly fathers being the example of God to our families. You know, when we are little, we believe our dads are God. They're big enough to be anyway. Well, we know they're not. But godly fathers represent God and His teachings, and they deserve our respect. Today, I leave you with a poem by Sue Skeen, and I close following this poem with some advice that I didn't understand until 5 a.m. this morning. The poem is entitled, A Father Is. There in every memory see His love and care, strength and hands to count on. Freely He does share. Provider toil so faithfully to make our dreams come true. Give strong and tender discipline, though that is hard to do. A father is God's chosen one to lead the family and point it to His will for life of love and harmony. To my dads gathered here today, we are called for a purpose. That purpose is not perfection. God knows we all fall short of perfection. Our purpose here on this earth as godly fathers, regardless of our time given, is to plant the seeds of faith in our children so they will come up to know who they are in Christ Jesus. Our key to being godly fathers is to know that our identity rests in Jesus Christ, and our purpose is to teach our children their identity in Him. I have struggled the entire week, gut churning. It started about 60 days ago. It's all for the good, but it's never easy on old dad. I tell people all the time when they ask about my daughter, she's ready to graduate, they'd say. I really don't want to hear that. I'm not going to do well as an empty nester. It's good change that I face, but it's change I don't want. You see, as a dad, I protect her today. When she steps out in life, ready to receive it herself, I will be distant from the ability to protect her. I often think of the struggles and the emotion I feel, how my dad felt in this point in time in my life. Being a godly father, as my dad was to me, and many of you are to your children, and I am to mine. If that's not admiration, I'm not sure what is. And that's why God wouldn't let me change that word. As we celebrate our fathers today, let our admiration ring out that their service to family and God is first and foremost in their lives. I told my daughter when we've been upset with each other, I can be your dad or your friend. I'd rather be your friend, but God's calling me to be your dad. That's tough. It's a tough place to be. Discipline and arguments. As Trevor said, when I think I'm always right, and she thinks I'm always wrong, it's tough being there. It's a whole lot easier path to take as a friend. Less arguments for sure. But it's done out of love. As dads today, we are called to do what we do. And so was mine. And so was yours. Being a godly father is special. It's like no other. We're certainly not perfect, and boy, do we share our fair share of mistakes. And we're absent of wisdom sometimes, even when we try to share it. But for our children, know this. Our strength and our love for you is bound in humility. It's wrapped up in God's call. Even in the discipline and the love and the argument. God called us to be your dads first. just as He did our fathers. And make no mistake, we know in Scripture, God has disciplinary actions as our ultimate Father. We're to be held accountable. And I know I will suffer my own accountability for my shortcomings as Ashlyn's dad. But one thing I won't suffer is a lack of love for her. And nor will you, the Father's present for your children. And nor will God Himself for me and you. May this Father's Day be memorable, either in memory or in present. And may you be blessed with God's grace, strength, and mercy, for He is all of our fathers.